Yep, and tonight's going to be a good night. We've got Colonel Ed Dames here, Major. I've already pushed him up a little bit on the old poll. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Now, Ed, you talked about tough times still for 2011 economically, but what about globally? What do you see?
It's going to be a tremendous time of transition. Of course, folks are the U.S. dollar will no longer be used by the petrol community, by the OPEC countries anymore, and then it will start to lose its place as a currency, a global currency. So that, but for other countries, believe it or not, they will reestablish themselves faster than the U.S. will. We have nowhere to go but decline. We're going to go downhill pretty fast. I don't want to get into all the basics there. But there was something I wanted to say about, oh, yes, corporations will survive nicely. Because corporations are spread out, including U.S. corporations. Their headquarters are here, but their operations
especially,
are
especially, yeah, if they're manufacturing in other places, they'll
be
fine.
Yeah, so U.S. corporations will actually will weather these terrible storms ahead, economic storms. But you and I, if we're not prepared, we're going to go under. We're going to go under economically, and we will not be able to recover. There's not going to be a recovery. My old boss used to say, Ed, it's okay to fool the enemy, but it's not okay to fool yourself. So let's not fool ourselves here. There's no recovery, and there's not going to be one. We have nowhere to go but down.
Can you see a one-world government ahead?
No, because of the kill shot sequence. We see wars, a lot of wars, as I mentioned, including U.S. involvement in a number of wars. But then, and I personally remote viewed this as well, all the warring parties, the soldiers on the ground, look up in the sky physically because there's unprecedented, something is happening in the sky. Evidently, these solar flares cause some unprecedented types of things. This ancient idea of the Chinese dragon, this electrical current in the air, evidently there's things that happen in the sky that have not been seen before that are very drastic. And these rearrange the priorities of soldiers who want to go home then because they know that things are going to get even worse. So that precludes, at least in the short term, in the next 10 years, a one-world government. After that, it's all bets are off. And I have not looked beyond that except further about 50 years later when somebody else is here. So don't know.
When they were talking about the H1N1 virus, they were running around saying it's a pandemic, look out. I said on this program, Ed, it's not going to happen. I just don't see it. I think it's a push to get people to take vaccines. You do see a global pandemic out there, though, somewhere.
Yes, I see a mutation between the swine and the avian flus. Mutations that are happening so fast, there's really no effective way to develop effective meaning because of politics and economics. There's no effective way to develop, to keep up vaccine-wise with these mutations. That's what's going to get us. And I think I missed it by a year. I felt it would happen last winter, but I think I was off about a year and a half. So I think we're right at the start, at the cusp of this now.
What about mutations that are created by man?
Well, I was one of this country's biological warfare case officers. That was my job. One of my primary jobs was to prevent technological, biological warfare surprise on future battlefields. So I briefed at the White House on this and collected intelligence on it. I will tell you now that a genetically engineered organism can't survive long in nature. While it survives, it can do the dam-dams to a lot of things. But it can't survive a long time in nature because it hasn't evolved, gone through all, it hasn't paid all its dues over the last 1,000 years or so. If it's a natural evolution, that's different. But when man tweaks something, it's a monster. And that monster, I'll give you a good example. Let's say I take E. coli, the species that's found in the human gut, and I splice onto it a hornet toxin. So that if I spray this over a city and people inhale it, then this E. coli, this genetically engineered microbe in people's gut, now begins to elaborate up 45% of its body weight with this new protein, and people feel like they've been stung in the gut by a hornet. Well, that organism will kill a lot of people and injure many more, but it can't survive too long because it's not natural. It's not a natural development. And also, anything that is exposed to ultraviolet light of the sun is denatured almost immediately. The shortwave ultraviolet light break apart the amino, right, the peptide bonds and the amino acids. So if you make something like that, I think on your interestingly on your show a couple of years ago, my Matrix Intelligence Agency took a look at China's most secret weapon, and it turned out to be anti-crop weapon, biological warfare. It was anti-crop, used against grasses, wheat. And grasses, because the Chinese Asian population, they eat rice, but they this was particularly developed to go after wheat and I think corn, which are not generally part of the Asian diet. But that would economically cripple the U.S. if it was covertly transmitted, if it was covertly transmitted here. And in the United
States. Oh, it would destroy us.
Yes, so that's it's a perfect weapon. Great weapon.
Are there members of government aware of this, and are they taking preparations into their own hands for themselves?
Are they aware of the things that are the strategic things that are happening?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I know. I know one big. I won't call them a church, but one big group that has taken extensive up in Utah, made extensive plans. In fact, the one of the leaders many years ago. Several of the leaders of that church approached me as a remote military viewer and asked to do a double check, a cross check on their prophet, because the prophet was saying that you got to get rid of all your short-term investments and all of this short-term meaning less than 10 years, because I'm seeing something that's so big, there's no need for long-term investments, dig in. Now this was an extremely expensive proposition, so I was approached as ex-operations officer and said, could you check this guy out just to make sure? Yes, he's our prophet, but could you make sure that this time he's right? And I turned it down. I said, no, I'm not going to do that.
All around the country, a group of religious people are putting up billboards, Ed, that basically say the end of the world begins on May 21st. That's an ominous date. I may ask you to look at that date.
We can't do that, George. We cannot look at dates.
That.
No.
Okay.
No, it's outside of our
time. We have to wait for this day to occur then and say, hey, nothing happened, right?
If that's the case.
Let's hope it's the case.
Now, remember, in history, if you look back, there have been times when psychics, and we're not psychics, we're remote viewers, when psychics could actually read newspaper dates and pick up dates like that. So it has happened before, but not with remote viewers, with psychics. But we couldn't use psychics in the military, and I can't use them today because they're not consistent. When they're on, they're on. When they're off, the best I'm talking about, not the charlatans.
Okay. All right. You had mentioned earlier about the next nuclear war would be used in anger. Explain that.
The next use of a nuclear weapon in anger where there are mass casualties involved, too. That's what we looked at 15 years ago. That has not changed. People have said, well, no, look at China, look at India and Pakistan. It's going to happen. And also the DPRK, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, only has enough for 1.5 warheads. That's not true. At the time, that's what was thought by the CIA. But they had more material than that. They certainly have a lot more now. Yeah, we can see that event because it already exists in time. And we know that this idea, even though we cannot use calendrical time in our work, we can use temporal qualifiers, next, final, those kinds of things, future, past. We can use those terms, and they work. Unconscious knows what to do when we search the global mind, the matrix, we call it, the internet in the sky, it knows what those terms mean, what we want it to do. So we can look at the next use, and the next use has been, since 15 years, that event on the Korean Peninsula.
Yeah. There was a missile a few months ago. There was something. The government says it was an airplane. It was vapor trails from an airplane. I think it was a missile that off the coast of California.
Yes, I know that event well. Uh-huh.
What do you think about that?
I don't know. Some of my advanced students actually ran work that as a project, but I don't know if they finished it or not. I was out in the field on my gold hunting expedition, so I wasn't keeping tabs on that. However, I did pay particular attention to two terrorists, what they were looking at in the U.S., a terrorist group. And there is a terrorist group that has very sophisticated plans to use a fuel air explosives rather than hundreds of pounds of fertilizers to take out the structures. Their original target was the Lincoln Tunnel in New York, but it's too well guarded. So now they're looking at a structure in Oklahoma City. I won't say which one. To attack in a very sophisticated fashion to inject a gas. There are certain gases that work better than others. I won't go into when they reach.
Why Oklahoma City again? Just because of the
I don't know. I think it psychologically it reopens an old wound, obviously. And these do not look like Al Qaeda folks. I don't know who they are, but they look like I don't know who they are, but
homegrown.
Even more than homegrown. I'm starting to become a conspiracy theorist in my old age.
Now, that's interesting, because I never thought I'd see you joining us.
No, I never thought I would either, but after looking at this, I'm highly suspect.
Let's talk.
It's a very elaborate scheme. They're going to pump it into the pipes in the building.
What's the motive? To kill people, or what do they want to do?
In our work, we're the unknowns are the who, what, when, where, how, and why. In this case, we have we know what building in Oklahoma City, and we know the how. So the why, the motives, all of that, we have not investigated, and I'm not sure if we have time to do that. The FBI is already in. They know about this. They've been informed by me and others. So, but I'm just concerned that there's a higher power, so to speak, out there with their machinations, and they may not be Al-Qaeda or homegrown local boy terrorists, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that, indeed. That's a little disturbing, but I guess we have to monitor that.
Yeah, we are particularly concerned with nuclear terrorism, as you know. So I have a project that periodically looks out for nuclear terrorism, the sum of all fears. That's the big one. But occasionally we'll look at the traditional types of attacks, and this is the Lincoln Tunnel and this particular structure in Oklahoma City are the ones that fell out of our most recent search with this group that wants to use fuel air explosives, which are very effective in terms of pressure.
Ed, have we been dodging the terrorist bullet of late?
To a certain extent, yeah. To a certain extent, mm-hmm. Yeah, we have. Can't dodge for too much longer, but I'm much more concerned with nuclear war and those things myself, because my resources are limited. I can only look at so much for so long, and also that will all be moot in a year and a half anyway.
All right, now we talk about the notorious kill shot. Explain that again for us.
The sun is going to produce in this particular solar cycle very, very large solar flares and very large X-ray storms. The sun, in its interaction with Earth's magnetic field, will take down our magnetic shields, and you'll have effects in the atmosphere all the way down to the Earth's deck it'll have effects in the atmosphere because our shields, our magnetic shields, will be down. Won't go into all the geophysics at this juncture, too. Suffice it to say, you're going to have great heating of the Earth's atmosphere because of these effects, great heating. Water, fresh water, will be a real problem in 2013 and in the out years, a very serious problem. Many, many people will die because of no water. Many people, the heat and lack of water will kill many human beings, many animals, a good deal of plants and animals. So it's that serious, and we just happen to be alive at a time where it's going to get very interesting.
And maybe that's what the Mayans knew, Ed. What if they were remote viewers? Who knows?
Oh, no, wait now. Now, we don't have any monopoly, remote viewers, on what we do. We just have a monopoly on precision and detail because that's what the CIA and U.S. intelligence needed to know. You know, even in civilian uses, where's the hydrogen leak on the space shuttle? Where's the leak in biosphere 2? Those kind of things require technical detail, and we are trained observers and trained to provide technical details. But all other civilizations, nominally in my teaching career, I know from my teaching career that nominally 15% of human beings are very psychic. Very psychic, and they're going to pick up stuff like this. And then when you have tribal elders or you have medicine men and shamans get together and do this for a living, of course they're going to be good. But they just won't be able to put those visions, articulate them in we use the oracle at Delphi. Here comes General Horatio asking the Oracle of Delphi, you know, what's the enemy doing? Well, General Horatio, he plans on flanking you from the north, and then a diversion over here, blah blah blah. That doesn't take a lot of technical detail, but the Oracle was, you know, doing her job well. She had another job too, as you might know. The Oracles were temple prostitutes as well. In my unit, I used to call myself the Red Light District of Intelligence. Nobody wanted to deal with a military unit in the light of day, congressmen and others. But man, when nobody was looking, they loved to come up and to congressmen and senators and get their readings.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
one of the reasons I got out of that unit.
But they wouldn't get caught during the daytime, would they?
No, I write about this in my book, in my recent book. In fact, I have a few more autographed copies I signed. It's available at the LearnRV via your website. I autograph some copies because people ask for them, so they can pick them up there.
Of everything that you, in your career, that you have remote viewed, what for you has been the most disturbing? Is it the kill shot? Has it been something else? What is it, Ed?
I've had a lot of rewarding things. I think the most disturbing thing, personally, that I've ever remote viewed was the assassination of John F. Kennedy, because I did not believe, as a young man, I went into service as an airborne infantryman in out of high school and did other things after that. I would never have believed that my own government could collaborate in an assassination of a president of my country. But I came out of those remote viewing sessions realizing that, you know, it was an inside job. And I guess to this day, that was the most disturbing thing that I've ever discovered using remote viewing.
Well, see, and that alone should have set you on the path of understanding, our thoughts on conspiracies. You can't trust anybody.
I am in denial.
Yeah.
I don't want to believe this. I don't want to believe what I'm seeing.
You believe it now, don't you?
I do, but I still, you know, it's just, I'm still human. I'd rather be in denial than, but I can, but I'd rather be. It's just so disturbing, and there's nothing I can do about it because it's a bigger thing than I am.
We'll be back with more with Major Ed Dames in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We're with remote viewer Ed Dames. Stand by for that and some of your questions as well. Hey, by the way, on our next Coast to Coast program, double show for you, Linda Sherman, the astrologer, joins us. We'll talk about things that she sees, predictions in the future. And then the trends research expert Gerald Celente joins us as well on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back with more with Major Ed Dames on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Edwin, you worked on the movie Suspect Zero. What was it like coaching Ben Kingsley? Great actor.
It was wonderful. I've been around a lot of Hollywood types in my career. I had an office in Beverly Hills for 5.5 years, so I know them well. And a lot of them are so full of themselves and vain. Ben Kingsley is the opposite. Wonderful man. It was. I mentioned before to you that he was a little bit afraid about a learning remote viewing. I had to give him a familiarization course because he didn't know what it would do to his mind, so I had to set those fears aside.
He didn't want anything to do with it in the beginning, huh?
He wasn't sure.
The technique where they sketch and they draw and they write, I guess you can't think. You just got to let it come right into you right away.
No, you're not. Yes, it's true. It's a remote viewing. It's a three-part process. The skill itself is the first part is setting up the search strategy, like a Google Internet or any database search. You have to have the search terms correct. It's very, very structured. Your intent has nothing to do with it, and it, just like your intent has nothing to do with playing the piano. You either play the music or you don't. The skill itself is very structured, and no, the thinking is not allowed during the process. It would be like playing the piano. You don't think about the note that you
just
play.
You just do it.
But it's not a loose, free-flowing thing at all. My next workshops, my final beginner workshop is in Reno next month, February 26th and 27th. I'm not teaching any more beginner classes, the fundamentals of remote viewing, because my DVD course it does that so well for me, so I don't have to do that. But in teaching the fundamentals, this is one of the first things we teach a student how to do, is to make sure that your thinking is not getting involved with your target contact. And our structure, the way it's like the sheet music of remote viewing, you just follow the steps, click, 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 click in a metronomic fashion. And it's like the blind man and the elephant. You touch the target all over, and allegorically speaking, and you collect a bunch of pieces, puzzle pieces, and there's no thinking when you do that. It's only at the end, that last phase, when you analyze your data and put the pieces back together, that you can trust the data, because there was no thinking, and you learn how to maintain target contact. So it's not free-flowing.
Does every remote viewer have a scratch pad with them when they're doing what they do?
They have two things. They have a pen, and they have a sheet. They have a stack of a white bond paper, and that is it. Eyes are open. You're attentive. It's an attention management skill.
Eyes are open.
Oh, yeah. Close your eyes and invite some imagination. In my basic courses, if I see somebody with their eyes closed, wham.
On the back of their head.
Boot camp. Not just kidding. But you should
get that Marine. What's his name? Who's that Marine who's in all those great movies? The full heavy metal jacket, full metal jacket. He's doing the Geico commercials now. That Marine guy. What's his name?
Oh.
He's good. I'll get it. I mean, you should have him sneak up behind people.
No, I do that myself. I'm pretty effective in sneaking up behind people too. They get a lot of attention, and as you will if you're in the course. I'll give you a lot of. I'll try my best with TLC. Nah, you'll get a lot of attention.
You're gonna torture me in front of everybody.
You'll have fun. It's very exciting. It's a life-changing skill. Art Bell. I invited Art Bell for many years to learn, but he just didn't want to do it.
Did it scare him?
Yeah, it did. I don't know why, but it did.
All right, let's take some calls here. Let's go to Jerry in Salt Lake City, Utah, west of the Rockies. Hey, Jerry, go ahead. You're on with Major Dames. Hey.
Thank you, Ed, George. Hey, you had a great speaker on last week or so. It was Joel Skousen.
Mm-hmm.
He talked a lot about the upcoming war in 2020, 2018, where Russia would fire upon the United States. what is your take on that, Ed? I mean, your timeline is off, and I'm just trying to read the writing here on the wall.
Things happen so fast and furious after 2013 that honestly, I don't have a coherent picture of what's going down other than the kill shot, to be honest with you.
Other than the kill shot?
Yeah, Yeah, all the wars and the rumors of wars and all of that, things are, our heads are going to be spinning. We're committing ecocide as we speak. The Gulf of Mexico is, for all intents and purposes, dead. So lots of things are happening in nature and in our own socio-politically. It's happening too fast for me after 2013.
Okay, next up, thanks for your call, Jerry. Carol in Columbia, Mississippi. Hi, Carol. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Hi, Ed. When you were describing recently about the war, it brought to mind just this vivid image I had from a few years ago watching a Discovery program or History Channel on Nostradamus. It was a quatrain where he was describing total warfare and famine and despair on Earth. And there was a vivid image where there was a big red sun or something burning in the sky, and two men had put down their axes or guns, and he said, all mankind will put down their weapons as they see this in the sky. It will bewilder them, and they were exactly what you said.
He actually said that in the quatrain?
He actually said that. I was wondering if you had seen that show or the quatrain.
I've seen many quatrains, because but I've never seen that one.
It just hit me, because it was really a striking image, and when you said that, you described it perfectly as he had described it and how they depicted it. It was at least 3 years ago. But I was wondering if you felt Nostradamus had any validity, and if you had heard of this.
Oh, yes. What we've done is, for fun projects with my advanced students particularly, we'll take a particular Nostradamus quatrain, and we'll subject it to remote viewing, we'll look at the meaning of the quatrain and put that in the contemporary vernacular to see what the heck he was talking about. And those can be fun and interesting.
Well, and what is your overall take of Nostradamus, Ed?
I think he was a gifted psychic. There are, many in history. That's all.
Absolutely. How about Leonardo da Vinci? He must have had the ability to see the future.
But sometimes artists are different, George. Artists are a horse of a different color. If they're connected to the matrix, to the global mind, and there's only one mind, our consciousness is immersed, and that's one of the basics that we teach in terms of the model or remote viewing. If they're connected and downloading from that, then they're seeing true, and they have access to the universe that they want. Anything. I've seen this many times before with artists and some excellent writers who don't know that they're actually remote viewing at the time.
I know one of the things that affects you more than anything, and that's missing children cases and things like that. Are you still dealing with law enforcement at all? Do they call you? What's going on there?
It's a private project on my own. Totally. I take it from start to finish. And I have two. I have one big unfinished project right now in Detroit that I have to bring closure to. And what I've decided to do in the future is just to go it all by myself. Overseas is the problem, is a huge problem. We have a living child overseas. I won't mention which country. We know this child is living. And this is a real problem for us tactically and strategically.
You mean abducted from the United States and they're overseas now?
No, they were abducted from another country.
Oh, okay.
And I won't mention that. But yeah, think about it. If a dead child is one thing, you're looking for a body, and you either find it or you don't. But if it's a living child and you're pulling surveillance, we have all the right equipment, we have all the right people, we have the money. But if we screw this up, if the abductors find out they're being surveilled, you have endangered that child's life.
You sure have.
So you got to be, and you can't go to the authorities because they're like the Keystone Cops in most countries. The organization I have the most respect for is the FBI, U.S. FBI. I have absolute respect for them. I worked for them before in the military and out, and they are highly professional. Those are the only folks, generally speaking, that I'll work with.
Will they listen to you when you have information?
Yes, yeah. They have to in case of terrorists. That's their responsibility.
Yeah, well, absolutely. There's no doubt. I mean, but do they probe and prod? They say, where'd you get this information? Come on.
Oh, no, no. They know me from,
they
remember during, the, we helped them solve the Unabomber case way back. You remember the Unabomber?
I sure do.
I have a hand receipt from James Moody, who retired now, who was the assistant deputy director of the Bureau responsible for, at the time, around 40% of all the criminal cases. I made him hand receipt for my work.
How did you tell me how you worked on that, and what was the outcome?
I said, you guys have been looking for this character for 17 years, and you can't get him. We can. Sign here, or, you know, I arm twisted them.
And you found something.
Oh, yes. We found three Unabombers because the reason they couldn't get a good forensic description, the forensic psychologist couldn't get the description of the Unabomber is because there were three of them. There were two clowns in South Bend, Indiana with the same M.O., the same modus operandi as our boy Kaczynski up in Montana. That's why they couldn't put together a profile. So
did they get the other two?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they did very quietly because they didn't want
to. That was quiet.
It's very embarrassing for the FBI to say the psychics helped them solve the case.
Fort Myers, Florida, we go. Derek, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Derek.
Thanks for taking my call, George. Happy New Year to you and a major game. Major game, in the 1980s, I recall that someone was writing about having this ability or some, I believe they were Japanese, using it for corporate espionage. Do you recall this, that they were using it? I believe it was in Japan very successfully and confidently, the techniques. And is it always passive? Is there any, without just the flow of knowledge, is there any techniques that you use that are not passive but that can affect change? And do you recall, while I was reading about the prophet Ezekiel in Babylon remotely viewing some goings-on in Jerusalem, people were perpetrating some crimes there while he was physically in Babylon. That's the corporate one also, the corporate espionage in the 80s also.
All right. Were you aware of that, the Japanese push for corporate espionage?
The president of the Sony Corporation was very, very interested in remote viewing, but it had nothing to do as a laboratory endeavor and nothing to do with corporate espionage. My company, which I was president and I had a general on my board of directors, we were asked to do a lot of corporate work for U.S. companies, General Motors, Bechtel, and some of the biggies, but it had nothing to do with business research is the buzzword. We don't use corporate, industrial espionage. We say business research. There was none of that. And I have my ethical, like I say, I don't teach ethics, but I have my own, and I won't do that. So and as far as Ezekiel goes, no, I'm not familiar with that history.
How close is a psychic from being a remote viewer?
Very far.
Very far?
Very far. For I can take gifted psychics and make them into all stars rather than just professional remote viewers, but they don't. There's a lot of things I don't want to get too technical. I do in my basic course when I talk about the fundamentals. Then I do go into detail about the differences between psychics and remote viewers. But suffice it to say, they don't have control of the target. They can't stay connected to the target, and when they cross a line, when they begin to bilocate, we call it, when more than 50% nominally of their conscious awareness is connected with the target information, everything exists as a pattern of information. So they're not going to the target. They're connected to the way it exists as a pattern. When they're more than 50%, when they cross that line, they're bilocating, they lose the target. There's a survival mechanism in our mind that shuts you off from that so you don't get hurt.
But a good intuitive, a good psychic, if you work with them, you could probably turn them into a home run remote viewer, right?
Almost always. If they toe the line, an all-star. And what that means is, and I've said this before on your show and in my classrooms, a gifted psychic, a gifted person, somebody is born with above average ability, not like myself. I got to where I got by dint of hard labor. But other folks that are born with gifted, they produce in a given amount of time, 45 minutes to 2 hours of remote viewing sessions, they produce nominally twice as much detail about a target as I would. I could still solve a problem in the same amount of time, but I would have to work two remote viewing sessions myself in order to produce as much detail as the gifted, trained remote viewer would produce.
Well, that makes sense. Let's go to Port St. Lucie, Florida. Joshua's with us. Go ahead, Josh.
Oh, wow. I'm still to be on.
Good. Glad you got through.
Well, what I was going to say is, since I was a little kid, I've had this very vivid vision of a man kind of standing in the field. And I always say that this man actually introduced himself to me once as John Harold Moore. And, my name is Joshua Adam Moore.
Okay.
So, in a sense, I've always kind of got the feeling that the man was introducing himself to me as my son.
And have you had the little boy yet?
No.
Not yet.
No.
Now, is that remote viewing, Ed, or is that being a psychic?
No, it could be angelic intervention. There's a lot of angelic intervention that is out there, and that sounds like an instance of something like that to me. Just that's my gut feeling. That's all.
You're a believer in angels, Ed?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you're pretty spiritual, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Always.
Yes.
Let's go to Don Pine Bush, New York. It's your turn. Hey, Don, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much. Sure. I have a question. My question is, has anyone used remote viewing with cryptozoology as far as, like, looking for Bigfoot or anything like that?
I have myself, and I've had team members do it, particularly a Sasquatch. I'm very intensely interested in that phenomenon, yes.
How about the results on that, Ed?
I would lose my credibility if I talked about it, but
No, you won't. Not on this show.
Yeah, I know. We've done extensive research on Sasquatch, extensive, and I could devote an entire show to Sasquatch alone. Those guys are from another planet. Many Native Americans knew this. They're not from around here. They sojourn down here, but they're from a very distant world. And they have temporary sojourns down here, a day, maybe sometimes a little longer, sometimes a little less. And then they go back home with a very interesting technology.
I would have thought maybe they were plopped down here, maybe like prisoners or something, and they dumped them on the planet.
In terms of trying to establish what's going on, we're trying to figure out why they're here. At first, a long time ago, I thought they were like scientists, like a Wookiee or something like that. Don't mess with a Wookiee; you'll tear your arms off that. And and then it looked like recreation, but now it's for a reason, a good one. But like, it's not recreation, and they're not scientists. But we just haven't established. The technologies are fabulous. They are. Beyond comprehension, but we've got good descriptions of them, but we can't understand the physics. But they are from another planet, another world.
All right, well, stick around for a final hour of phone calls with Major Ed Dames, author of Tell Me What You See. He's also got a DVD out there called Learn Remote Viewing. It's a set. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll take some more calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.